bit of time before I go into the Steubenville Youth Conference. I'm in Springfield, Missouri. It's Friday. And I thought I would talk about something that's near and dear to my heart today, which is suffering. On the scale of things, this is pretty small, but it is irritating. This morning I got up early. I went to the Pittsburgh airport with plenty of time to spare. And I remember specifically telling the lady at the counter, please, I just want to check one bag. I'd rather basically show up with no clothes as opposed to no guitar. And she insisted that I check the guitar as well. Usually I like to take it and gate check it there so that at least I know every time I get off the plane I have it in hand. Sometimes there's even room in these bigger planes for me to put the guitar overhead. But today, for some reason, United Airlines insisted that I just go ahead and check it the whole way through to Springfield. And I said something to the effect that, look, I've had times where I've showed up and not all my bags have shown up, and so I'd rather, like I said, I'd rather not have clothes to wear for, you know, the evening, because I came already, obviously, in clothes, but we'll need that guitar. Plus, it's fragile, and, you know, things can happen. So what do you think happened? Basically, I arrive exhausted, tired after a long day of flying, eventually to Springfield, Missouri, and get off the plane. Here comes my bag. Hallelujah. I thought we're halfway there. Next thing you know, there's only one or two bags trickling out and no guitar. And in fact, it was somehow lost and is still lost. I don't know where it's at. I don't know if somebody has borrowed it permanently or if it's broken in a million pieces somewhere. But nonetheless, here I am in Springfield, where I'm supposed to do basically entertainment, which will include, of course, music, with no guitar. Now, I could borrow one, no problem, but it's kind of like a piece of me, you know, something pretty special, and I wanted to make sure that I had all the stuff that I was going to need and not have to depend on, you know, scouting about for an instrument. Okay, that's all kind of the precursor to this little chat, because I was thinking a little bit about something that I was having a conversation with Father Larry Richards about as we were waiting in Chicago, Illinois, which was basically this idea of offering it up, you know, redemptive suffering. This is a pretty big deal, this topic, and probably some of you have heard your grandparents or even your parents say something to you when some irritating event has unfolded, like, well, just offer it up, offer it up. And we have kind of a little idea of what that means, like just basically don't worry about it, stop fussing and complaining, and just give it to Jesus. But what are we really saying here? I mean, I think this is a pretty big deal, a very important point. And in fact, if it's so true that our suffering can be placed in the hands of Jesus, then we really have an opportunity to change all of eternity. So let's begin. Redemptive suffering. The truth of the matter is every single one of us, without our even realizing it, are born with what's called original sin. And I had a professor who liked to explain it this way, which I think is St. Augustine's way as well, that sin is a deprivation of grace. Original sin is a deprivation of grace. It's not like something is added to you. It's not like you're given this extra thing at birth called original sin. It's as if you were born without something important, and that important thing that you're born without is grace. Now, interestingly enough, this is very dominant in the teachings within the Western Church. In the East, though, there wasn't this whole idea of original sin in this form and fashion, because they didn't have Augustine and they didn't have Thomas Aquinas. So you have a little bit of a different perspective. We don't have time to go into that now. Be that as it may, we're all born with this sin and needing desperately for grace to come into our lives. And baptism, of course, is that infusion of the grace of God that sets us square. You know, we're made beautiful. But obviously we're needing something, and that something is the grace that God wants to pour back into our lives, which happens in baptism. Redemptive suffering, though, comes into play with this idea that there are many who throughout life have chosen to sin willfully. To know the right thing and to do the wrong is certainly sin. It's offending God. It's going against or contrary to what we were made and created for. And we do this in a million different ways. The Ten Commandments give us a wonderful overview of really how we're supposed to live and act in life. The Beatitudes that Jesus gives on the Sermon on the Mount show us that it's not just only commands, that there's a deeper meaning behind the rhyme and rhythm of our life. So, for example, it's not just committing adultery, it's looking with lust. That's the root of the problem here. There's something deep inside of us that needs to be healed. We have these healings through the sacrament of reconciliation. We certainly are healed through the sacrament of sacraments in the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist. But along the way, God invites us to participate with Him in His redemption. Now, it's not the objective redemption. It's not that once-for-all redemption that Jesus alone has accomplished for us and has allowed Our Lady's sufferings to participate in. And have salvific effects. But for us, it's subjective redemption. In other words, we have the chance right now to touch other people's lives and to basically make eternal consequences or eternal ramifications in their life by offering up our weaknesses and inadequacies and our moments of discouragement and sorrow. In other words, you have the chance to change not only the life of those people around you that you see, that you know are struggling, that you know are having bad days, but you honestly have the opportunity to change people's lives whom you've never met. This is a huge and profound reality. So we're all born with original sin, but the grace of baptism, the grace from our God, pours into our lives and we're made clean and we're filled up, we're set straight with God. But throughout our life, we make these mistakes. We choose ourself over God. We're prideful. We're selfish. We're self-gratifying. And unfortunately, these tendencies hurt us sometimes in a way that is like a cut or like a scrape. But at times, we commit sins in such a way that it mortally destroys the spiritual life within us. This mortal sin happens in a variety of ways. Remember the seven deadly sins. Okay, that would be an example of participating in something such as, pick one of them, I guess, anger, wrath, We do our soul a serious blow, a disservice, by participating in a wrathful event, and it can basically snuff the very spiritual life out of us that is needing, that is needed for us to have this intimacy with God. Okay. So what does this have to do with suffering? What this has to do with suffering is this. What if you found out that in your life, during your day, you have a difficult moment, such as, for example, United Airlines leaving your guitar somewhere mysteriously? You have the chance to become irritated and angry and maybe let a seed plant that would cause you to be, angry and irritable towards the ticket counter person or angry and irritable towards people around you. In other words, it can affect your day for hours or even for a week. I mean, who knows? Maybe the guitar comes broken in 1,000 pieces. That could certainly cause a bit of anger. So what do I do with that? What happens now? Well, Christ talks about the sufferings. St. Paul talks about the sufferings needing to be filled up in Christ. And in a way, he's kind of hitting on this idea that our suffering can be placed in the redemptive work of Christ, and we can begin to make eternal differences in others. Okay? You may not see it, but what if you found out your brokenness, that loneliness, those mean words that hurt you so deeply, once you just say, Jesus, I offer this to you. What if you found out that years later, that grace that came from your suffering changed the other person's life dramatically, or even somebody that you didn't even know? So I was thinking about this friend of mine, and I heard a story that one of his children were having difficulties in life, and he felt like there wasn't a lot that he could do, except maybe every day he would not have breakfast. Okay, so he offered up the hunger pains and the moments of, irritation or whatever at not being able to satisfy that hunger for his son, that he would come around, And years went by. And then one day he's having a conversation with his son, and somehow or another, this idea of how much his son means to him and the love that he has for him manifests itself with the father revealing to the son, "Look, every day for the last 2, 3 years, I haven't had breakfast for you, so that you would be able to find your way back to God." And it was a beautiful moment of seeing how graces were continually being poured into this son's life. We do this kind of all the time as a church during Lent. We say basically, let's deny ourselves, let's unite ourselves to the passion of Jesus, and wait and hope and look forward to the resurrection of Easter. In a lot of ways, I think really every day we could have the opportunity to seize moments of discouragement, moments of suffering, of loneliness, and we can say, Jesus, I offer you this for whoever, wherever they are, and whatever they need. I bet you could think of at least 10, 15 people right off the bat that you are knowing, without a doubt, need graces poured into their life. They're sinning. Maybe it's venial sins. Maybe they're mortal sins. Maybe they have never come to Jesus. The truth is that you can be a part of their transformation. And sometimes we have this idea that missionizing and evangelizing and reaching into people's lives will always kind of come with this idea of somebody yelling on the street corner or passing out brochures or giving somebody a book or having some incredible deep words of wisdom that bring them out of their funk. But the truth is, what if you found out that that suffering, that irritation, that little sibling that drives you crazy, that unbalanced checkbook, what if you found out many of these things that cause you so much stress and discouragement? What if it's your dyslexia that you offer to Jesus every day? What if it's your, ADD or ADHD and you say, Jesus, I don't know why I have this, but I give it to you. What if it's your inability to remember people's names? I give it to you, Jesus, etc., etc. And the thing is that I feel like we won't even realize how much we've made an impact in into another's life until we cross over into eternity. But we can certainly know that our yes to Jesus in difficulties and in moments of celebration can matter, can make a difference. James says in his letter, just that opening phrase there of, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." For St. James, he knew that sufferings and trials, difficulties, were going to do something dynamic within the individual's life. That's what he goes on to say. But the cool thing is, St. Paul says, though, when he talks about filling up what remains in Christ's sufferings, he's saying that the things that he's going through, whether it was his being thrown over the boat and, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 days that he was in the water, or stoned 2 or 3 different times and left for dead. I mean, he says that all of those sufferings, the imprisonments that he goes through, they are for, in fact, another. For the young church, for people's salvation. I guess what we need to really start looking at is the big picture. And as much as it might drive you crazy to think back of your grandma or your mom and dad saying, offer it up," really, what if we did do that? What if we did start to offer it up? I mean, whose life would be changed? You may not even realize it, but your yes to Christ in suffering may, in fact, change the life of somebody forever. Was thinking about this a lot because, I mean, honestly, guitar, I mean, certainly it's important to me because I play it, I use it wherever I go. It's a nice guitar and all that stuff, but it's just a guitar in the end. But what if the blow hits a little bit closer to home? And for me, it did a few years ago when I had open heart surgery, and I remember just feeling like, what am I going to do? I have number 7 baby was on the way. I'm married with obviously, a lot of responsibilities. I travel around the country. What do I do? And I just remember feeling like the saints were there during my struggle, encouraging me to somehow give this to Jesus as a gift and trust that God is present in our difficulties. I remember when my wife was having a baby, number, I don't know, we'll say 6 or so. I'm not 100% sure which one this was, but I remember being just so profoundly moved by her because as the Pain increased in child labor. I remember she told me that she was offering all of those sufferings up for people. And I thought, that's amazing. And these people would never realize it. These people that she had mentioned would never realize that all of that labor was being given as a gift to Jesus for them. You know, there's a saint kind of shows us the beauty of this. And she's a doctor of the church, Saint Therese of Lisieux. She's this little Carmelite nun who was in France. And she didn't spend her time traveling around making lots of money and selling t-shirts or having all sorts of CDs. At the request of her superior, she wrote down these little notes, and her siblings wrote down some of her last kind of conversations during her agonizing death with tuberculosis. And we are given this gift from her of what's called the little way. And she showed us that every little moment that we go through can be a gift to Jesus. Whenever she would have like something sweet to eat, she would offer it as a gift to Jesus. Whenever she would have some sort of a struggle with somebody in the convent, she offered it as a gift to Jesus. And look at how much we've all benefited from her, yes. So what will life be like for people because you say yes to the suffering that you're going through? And maybe it's your grandma who's passing away, or maybe it's your family member that you know who has just been diagnosed with diabetes or cancer or autism. The truth is that you can make eternal differences in people's lives. And although they've chosen many things that have hurt them through sin, your choice to take that suffering and give it to Jesus as a gift can make a lasting difference, a lasting impression in another's life. It's pretty awesome stuff, isn't it? And I think in a lot of ways we have a great responsibility as Catholics. This is a teaching that is not something that we made up. This is a teaching that matters and is part and parcel with who we are. There's a quote from St. Ignatius. He said, "If God gives you an abundant harvest of trials, it is a sign of great holiness which he desires you to attain. Do you want to become a great saint? Ask God to send you many sufferings. The flame of divine love never rises higher than when fed with the wood of the cross, which the infinite charity of the Savior used to finish his sacrifice. All the pleasures of the world are nothing compared with the sweetness found in the gall and vinegar offered to Jesus Christ. That is, hard and painful things endured for Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ." St. Ignatius, of course, founded the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and he knew what it was like to go through struggles and sufferings. These are just small little reflections on redemptive suffering. I think I want to talk about this a little bit more, but I figured this is a great way to begin. I hope that you feel and realize that today, not only are you going through things for your benefit, for your maturation in Christianity and spirituality, but you are going through these difficulties, also for an opportunity to seize them and, like St. Therese, to give them back to Jesus and know that they will touch another person's life. Say yes, and we'll all be the better for it. God bless.